I need to turn your mic.
Line unmuted.
Entertained a motion to come out of recess for the appeal.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Shaver, second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll be at the motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. At this time, it is the time for an appeal of Sussex County Planning and Zoning's decision to deny subdivision application number 2023-09, Lorraine Brown. And Council, in your honor, I'll just read a short summary of what the rules are on appeals from planning and zoning decisions. Number one, this is not a public hearing. Two, there is no new evidence or testimony. It's only a review of the evidence that was in before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And three, the council may not substitute its own decision for that of the zoning board. It has three options only. One, to find that the commission's decision is supported by the evidence and law. B, find that the commission's decision is not supported by the evidence and law. And if that's the case, to either reverse the decision or order a new hearing. So that will be the guidelines that we operate under today. And I'd like to turn the hearing now over to the Honorable Charles Tolliver.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Mr. Moore indicated, this is an appeal from the decision of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Board in number 2023-09. Mr. Moore has already outlined the basis of the appeal, and it's on the record, no new evidence. Either the decision is in accord with the law and supported by the facts, in which case it will be upheld. If it is not in accord with the facts or the applicable law, then it will be remanded either for a new hearing or a decision consistent with a remand. In this case, the appellant is Ms. Lorraine Brown, who is the owner of the property in question, an acreage, a parcel of, I think it's 4.63 acres, something to that effect. She is representing herself.
I'm so sorry.
Ma'am, no problem. It just reminded me to make sure mine was on.
Now we're all checking. Don't worry.
Sussex County Planning and Zoning Board is represented by Mr. Robertson, and the County Council is represented by Mr. Moore, Everett Moore. And the hearing was scheduled in accordance with the discussion pre-hearing matter with the parties for today at 1:30, and I think in that it outlines what the process is. The hearing shall last no more than 2 hours. Each side is allocated 45 minutes to present their respective arguments. And again, it's limited to the information that is already a part of the record. Both parties have submitted, had the opportunity to, and in fact, have submitted a pre-hearing memorandum. Ms. Brown has done so, and Mr. Robertson has done so, and they are part of the record, and I assume that they have been disseminated to council. if I've missed anything, please let me know. I think that's the process.
Yeah.
All right, and I guess, Ms. Brown, you are the appellant, the person appealing, and it's your opportunity to present argument. You can present, use all of your time, some of your time. You can use some of it now and reserve some in response to Mr. Robertson. It is not anything structured beyond that, except you can't call witnesses and you have to stick to what is in the record. You understand, ma'am, or do you have any questions for me?
No, I don't.
And for the record, I am a member of the Delaware Bar. retired from the Superior Court after 24 years and quasi-active practice of law now, but quasi, I stress, at this point. And so, ma'am, you may proceed, and you may remain seated as per the agreement, and it does not offend council.
Okay. Good afternoon, county council members. Give me a minute. Okay. I attended the first meeting, which is my issue, bringing up my original application on February 21st, 2024. And at that time, I did not realize that I could have put neighbors and other people to affirm the subdivision of my lot. However, inquiries that were made with planning and zoning requiring the issue, regarding the hearing as to what I needed to do to prepare, I was only told to make sure I'm there, so that's what I did. To my surprise, I had three neighbors that spoke in opposition for me to subdivide my land. At the end of the meeting, I asked what I needed to do for the decision meeting and whether I needed to be in attendance. I was informed that there was nothing I needed to do and that I did not need to be in present, so therefore I kept my medical appointment that was previously set 2 months prior. On March 20th, 2024, the planning and zoning decided my case. However, I was not present to defend my case as I had an afternoon doctor's appointment. Okay, I read over everything that was regarding my case that was rendered by the Planning and Zoning Committee, and I'm really at a loss as to why the subdivision of my property will cause such hardship to my neighbors as long as I stay within my property lines. And I'm looking at my property lines, and if whatever I do on my property should be all right, and I'm just trying to grasp it and get an understanding. This is my first time ever doing anything like this, so excuse me, I'm a little nervous and trying to keep my thoughts and everything together. I don't understand how the road became a big issue, as my daughter and son-in-law has been staying with me since the sudden death of my husband in 2018, and they've been driving up, and that's who I plan to give that lot to for, number one, to help them out and get them out my house, you know, not to be cruel or anything, but they need their own and to help them out. And also, to honor one of my husband's wishes before he passed away suddenly. You know, that's my main reason for wanting to subdivide the lot. I don't know what she's going to do. She might not do anything. She has a master's degree in cybersecurity. She may move. No telling where her job is going to take her or what she's going to do. But I wanted to already have it set up so that she will already know that no matter what happened, she still has this parcel of land that she could, you know, do something with, sell it if hard times really came real bad or whatever she decided to do. But I was looking at keeping it as a legacy for the family. And the way I see it, there is no increase in the number of people using Victory Lane. And I'm just trying to, as I said, I'm just trying to help my daughter and son-in-law. Nothing will change as far as the impact on the road. The same number of people that's been using that road is the same number of people that's going to continue to use the road. If I decide just to give them my house and get me another house, we're still going to have the same number of people traveling up and down that road. And the impact, you know, is basically zero. There, you know, there's not like it's more people coming. It's the same people. Like, they've been there since 2018. And to be honest, I'm totally lost and I'm confused. And, you know, they talk about setbacks, you know, on the road. It seems like the biggest problem is the road, the impact on the road. I have egress and ingress to the road, to that property, which was set up back in 1953. That's the only way you're going to get out the way that property is set up. You have to get out through that road. So right now I'm looking to hopefully have either my subdivision, you know, my lot subdivided, because that way I could put it in the records and also put it in my will. If I can't put it in my will as a subdivision, I still would have my will written out in such a way that No matter what happened, if my children take over my property, she still will have her own, just like my son has his own. And whatever is left of the property, whatever they do to it, I'm trying to teach her about keeping things, leave a legacy for their children and grandchildren. You know, keep something going on. And as far as they talk about the setbacks, I'm don't know what a setback is. I'm totally lost. I understand that it has to do with being pushed back or feet being pushed back, but that's something that an engineer would have to do because I, you know, I'm lost on that. And I also looked up how different people owns different parts of the road. And one of the persons that owns a part of the road, when I spoke to them and we were just talking in general, she was saying, they were saying they didn't have an issue with anything that I was doing. So, but that's neither here nor there. My main thing is that this, everything seemed like it impacted on the road, but there's no impact to the road. It's the same number of people going to be traveling. Whether I stay there or live there or put another house there under my name, it's still going to be the same number of people. There's not going to be an impact to the road. That is what I got out of everything that I read. That's my understanding. I'm presenting it to the best of my ability, the way I understand it to read.
Anybody on council have any questions? thank you, ma'am, and you have plenty of time left after you hear.
Thank you.
Mr. Robertson, when we met previously, you guys by video, me by phone, because I couldn't get it to work right. There were a couple things you wanted to put on the record concerning the transcript and one other matter which escapes me. Would you wish to do that now as a formal?
Well, I think the transcript issue, I was in the impression, Your Honor, just for the record, Vince Robertson with Parkowski, Girk, and Swayze on behalf of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. We had discussed the fact that the record from the public hearing, the record from the February 21, 2024 meeting didn't include the discussion at the end of that meeting when we refer back to this application. And it was my thought that I had made that presentation during that conference and that you had decided, fine, objection noted, but we're gonna move forward, and I'm fine with that. I just wanted to preserve that objection for the record. The other aspect of it was that, and it kind of gets to a little bit the heart of what I was gonna say during my presentation, is that in Ms. Brown's supplemental submission, she cited to things that weren't in the record before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And as I think Mr. Moore stated, you all at council are tasked with deciding this based on what's in the record from the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. So I would ask, that to the extent that there's information that was submitted in writing or today that's outside of what was presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission, that not be considered during your deliberations, just because that's what the rules are.
You also had an issue which I believe you were prepared to, you had an issue that about the transcript that was provided, and I thought the agreement was to proceed notwithstanding that lack of certification.
Well, I apologize, Your Honor. I guess I didn't also add that, that the transcript was incomplete and that it's not certified. And I don't think I raised this before, but in terms of reviewing it, it's really hard to tell who the speakers are, whether they were members of the commission, whether they were myself, whether they were Ms. Brown, whether they were folks that spoke in opposition. Again, it was my understanding that, I had made that point and Your Honor had decided that, understood, but we're still moving forward and I'm...
His Honor did.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't bring it up again.
But I just wanted to make sure that the record reflected what we had discussed, and I didn't want to gloss over it. And Ms. Brown, I wanted you to understand that. I assume you understood that ruling, but for future purposes, a transcription must be certified as accurate by a certified court reporter. We've gotten past that in this case, but I wanted you to understand what we were discussing. And there was a discussion which you captured, and then there was a formal decision or vote, and we decided to proceed notwithstanding the absence of a transcription of that. However, Mr. Robertson, it's my recollection, for what it was worth, that it was a part of the record. I thought the decision was, the actual language was recorded.
That's true, Your Honor. So on the 21st, make sure I read it. Yeah, February 21st, there was the public hearing, and then the way the commission operates is that the hearing is closed, and then we go to the next hearing, and then at the end of all the hearings, we refer back to the hearings. It was that referral back, and there was maybe a five-minute conversation that occurred amongst the commissioners on the record, you know, before we adjourned the meeting, about all the applications. This one, there was about 5 minutes where this one was discussed. That was not picked up in the transcript, but you're correct. The decision was the motion and the vote and the reasons for the motion and vote. They are in the transcript that Ms. Brown provided.
Okay. So,
I mean, the majority of what occurred, and I think all of the substance to some degree or another is captured in the transcript, just not that five-minute part at the end of that meeting on the 21st. Okay, thank you. Thank you for allowing me just to clarify that. So again, Vince Robertson with Parkowski, Yerkes, and Swayze on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Commission. At this point, as I think Your Honor stated, you have our letters. You also have the transcript that we just talked about, which I'm sure you've all received. One thing I just wanted to mention in terms of procedurally, Ms. Brown stated that she was not present to defend herself during the vote, and that's understandable. I can see where that perception would be natural, but at that point, the record had been closed, so Ms. Brown would not have been able to, quote-unquote, defend herself at the time of the vote any more than the opposition or anybody else from the public would have had an opportunity to speak and try to persuade the commission at that point either. So, you know, there was not a procedural impropriety that occurred there. As I think you all know, the burden's always on the applicant to show that the requirements of the county code have been satisfied. I can speak for myself, and I think I can speak for the commission, that we're sympathetic to Ms. Brown. It does sound like she was led to believe that for whatever reason, maybe because it was a one-lot subdivision or because it was for family, that the standards are somehow waived or loosened, or that a sufficient record wasn't necessary. That's unfortunate. I don't know whether that came from staff. She had a surveyor who probably should have also talked to her about that, because surveyors and engineers certainly know the process that had to be followed for subdivisions. But the fact of the matter is that this is a subdivision just like any other, whether it's one lot or 500 lots. I mean, that's the burden that an applicant has, and those are the standards that the commission has to follow. The other thing I would like to point out is Mr. Wheatley and others on the commission have said repeatedly over time, and actually said during this hearing, that, you know, we understand that this lot may be for estate planning purposes, or Ms. Brown may want it to go to her daughter. But as Ms. Brown just mentioned, that lot and her lot could be sold to somebody else. You know, I mean, we have to look at it that it is a lot. It's not who owns the lot. It's a new lot, and it could be Ms. Brown's lot that's transferred to somebody else, and potentially this additional lot that's transferred to somebody else. So again, we need to be sure that everything's followed correctly in the record. We talked about the fact that this needs to be on an appeal on the record, and I appreciate Ms. Brown sticking to that during her comments a moment ago. We really can't consider any information that's outside of the record. But the standard you all have based on that requirement is that if the commission's decision was based on the record, or in this case, the lack of a record, then it must affirm the commission's decision. So I think we all agree that this largely comes down to Victory Lane. And just, I know you've probably looked at it or maybe on the land use docket. Victory Lane's not really a driveway. It's about 2,250 feet from Shawnee Road to this proposed new lot. So it's not an inconsequential road that we're talking about here. It's not a short driveway. And the problem we're faced with is that there's nothing in the record to confirm who owns it. Ms. Brown stated that no one owns it. We weren't given an easement document that says whether, you know, the other 11 properties that have access to it, what rights they have. There was just nothing in the record about who owns it. There was no documentation in the record about who maintains it. It's really unclear if anyone does. Ms. Brown actually said that the person who used to maintain the road passed away. And there was no indication about how a potential new lot owner would join in any maintenance obligations, even if any existed. But again, there was nothing in the record to show that there was maintenance obligations that existed in the first place. You know, clearly Ms. Brown's entitled to use Victory Lane. I'm not saying that she's not. She owns a lot there. You know, I don't know whether that's through a prescriptive easement, a recorded easement, or what. We don't know how she has rights, but obviously she lives there and she uses it, she has rights. But there was no other documentation about what rights she has in the road. And this goes, frankly, to her or to anybody else on that road based on the record that was presented. We don't know what easement rights exist, so we don't know what rights somebody else would have to increase the burden upon Victory Lane by adding 1, 2, 3, or 10 lots on that. We don't know, and without that record, we can't frankly make an unknown situation potentially worse by adding lots to it without the documentation to support it. So again, there was simply no record presented about any of this during the hearing. As you all know, there's standards in our subdivision code that address subdivisions. And the big one everybody talks about is 999C. And those also weren't addressed, even really indirectly. Again, 999C number 11 talks about the provision of safe vehicular movement to adjacent ways. And 9917 and 18 regarding road access and street layout apply to every subdivision. And also 99.9C13 and 16 deal about the effect on farmland. We heard testimony about that. And 16 deals with the compatibility with area land uses. Again, the commission was sympathetic to Ms. Brown's situation. But at the same time, the commission doesn't have the jurisdiction over the 11 or so other properties that use Victory Lane or with whatever rights or right they have or don't have in Victory Lane. The commission can't unilaterally determine ownership of that road. The commission can't impose maintenance obligation upon other people. It doesn't have the jurisdiction to bind other people with conditions of a subdivision when they weren't part of the application at the first place. And the commission can't ignore code requirements or the need for a record to support an application for a subdivision. You know, you've heard me say this before a lot of times, and the commission looked into this, you know, can we kind of create an approval out of conditioning one? And in this case, just there was too many off-site issues, you know, with that road and whatever rights or people had or didn't have or maintenance obligations they had or didn't have. There just wasn't any documentation to support that. There was just really no way we can condition this approval or this application into approval. You know, I guess if the commission had tried to, we'd have potentially been assisting Ms. Brown, but harming somebody else who wasn't even a party before the commission on the subdivision application. So again, there was just not enough information in the record to support the subdivision application. Ms. Brown talked about this. It was also, it's right next to a fairly large farm that's actively farmed, and it's a poultry farm right next door. And there was testimony about that, but that creates under 99.6G2 the agricultural use setbacks. You know, there's a 50-foot setback from agricultural use for any structure, and there's also the perimeter buffer requirements, regardless of whether there's, you know, agricultural use next door. Neither one of those things were shown on the survey. That's not Ms. Brown's fault. The surveyor, whoever that was, just didn't pick that up. The ag use setback should have been shown there. There was a request for the waiver of the perimeter buffer that came into planning and zoning staff. But given the opposition testimony that we received, that would have been hard to waive as well, given the fact that the farm was next door. So again, there was little or no record made in support of this application. And at the conclusion of the applicant's presentation, and then we heard from several neighbors that were in opposition to it. Now, one of those neighbors explained that Victory Lane is not defined on the ground. Basically, it shows up on the survey that was presented, but the lane itself sort of meanders all over the place, so it's unclear where it's physically located. And that neighbor also talked about it was improperly expanded onto his property, and vegetation on his property was improperly removed without his permission. Not that Ms. Brown did that or anybody associated with her family, but this had occurred, and the point being that, again, we're making a situation that's already got some issues worse if we create an additional lot on this road. There was testimony that Victory Lane currently has runoff and erosion problems that impact adjacent properties, and that testimony, sort of the person who presented it, stated that adding traffic to it without any clear ownership and maintenance of it would make the situation worse for their properties. And again, that ties back into the 99.9C requirements. There was testimony that Victory Lane can't handle the current amount of traffic, including the farm traffic that exists. There was a lot of talk about the poultry trucks that come in, whether it's for feed or, you know, the load in or load out. Again, there was more testimony that no one maintains the lane. There was another person testifying again about the additional lot having an impact on farming applications. This was the owner of the farm who was right next to where this proposed lot would go. That testimony referenced poultry trucks that already use Victory Lane, and that the additional traffic would interfere with these operations, and that the trucks could be also unsafe to the additional traffic as well. That farmer testified that there had been encroachments onto the farmland that would be worsened by an additional lot right next to the farm. Again, particularly in light of the fact that the ag buffering hadn't been shown on that survey. And you know, maybe that's a technical requirement, maybe it's not, but this was a fairly small lot, so there was part of what was not picked up during that 5 or so minute discussion at the end of the meeting was the concern that between the vegetative buffering and the ag setbacks, whether, and then the front and side and rear yard setbacks, whether that really almost made this lot unbuildable, you know, just because it squeezed in the buildable area on the lot. But at any rate, based on all that testimony, there just wasn't a record in support of the application. There were just too many unanswered questions, and also the testimony in opposition. Unfortunately, you know, for those reasons, the commission had little choice but to reluctantly deny the subdivision application. Again, approving it would have been contrary to the lack of a record of compliance with county code. And those are just things that the commission can't ignore. It never can. You know, whether it's a one-lot subdivision, a 10-lot subdivision, or a 500-lot subdivision, you know, we've got to follow the county code, and it has to be based on the record. So for all those reasons, the commission's decision to deny this application should be affirmed. I will say this, though, regardless of all that, I think I speak again for the commission when I say that all these neighbors need to find a solution to this issue. It's not in the context of this subdivision because, you know, the form of the Planning and Zoning Commission and County Council, it's just not the right place to sort this out. But there's 11 people that own property, well, probably more than 11 people. There's 11 properties out there that all use Victory Lane. And right now, at least based on what's presented to us, there's not a clear easement. There's not clear maintenance obligations. Nobody's really doing maintenance at this point on any of that. That needs to be sorted out. You know, it was clear that everybody gets along out there pretty well. You know, I mean, these are all neighbors. It's a small community. You know, hopefully, as a result of this, that can all be worked out. And, you know, then everybody's going to have a clear understanding of what their rights and obligations are with regard to that maintenance and that easement. So, again, based on all that and really the lack of the record, we'd ask that that denial be upheld. So, thank you.
Yes.
Do you wish to apply to Mr. Robertson?
Yes. I understand some of the things that he said. Some of the things that I don't understand, because I looked at 99-9C and was reading what it was saying, and I didn't see how me doing a subdivision of my lot impacted or, you know, wasn't in line with what it was reading, because I'm not doing all that stuff. And as far as the size of the lot is big enough to have the setbacks and the easement. And my surveyor, my original surveyor that was doing my lot, he wound up retiring before all this took place. And I think what happened, they sent the wrong I know what happened, because what they showed me and with the big paper that they gave me shows me the easement. They told me to keep it for my files, and this was what they were sending to county council. However, that paper or that particular map did not show the easements or anything as far as the buffers and all that. I didn't even know anything about a buffer, so I was lost. I didn't realize that the surveyor or somebody asked for a buffer, and I'm like, okay. I didn't find that out until the 21st. Then I looked up what a buffer was, and I'm like, okay, what could a buffer be? They said it has to be vegetation. Why do I have to maintain the vegetation? Couldn't I put a fence up there between my house and the farm going back? You know, that was something I was at, you know, wondering, because they said I had to keep a vegetation. I could put a fence on my lot and still have the buffer, and because it's not really like it's trees, it's like a whole lot of underbrush, and it has these sharp needles in it that when you try to pull it, it cuts you really bad. It's something that has to be done with a weed whacker or a bush whack or something of that nature. And I'm like, I don't own any type of equipment other than a broken down lawnmower that I'm trying to work on getting fixed. But I just didn't understand how, I still don't understand how 99-9C affects this small lot. You know, it's 3/4 acre, it's plenty of room to do, they have a front buffer and a back buffer, whatever is needed, because the lot, that size is pretty big, you know. And as far as the easement and them showing it on the map, I don't know what happened there. All I could do is get back to the surveyor, because I did tell the surveyor, and like I responded in one of the questions, the surveyor said that would be completed and added on the final drawing. And as far as the lane is concerned, I'm willing to help out and pitch in any way that I can, because my prior neighbor before his passing, me and my husband before his passing, we used to help out and help him financially, because we knew it took gas. You know, it may not have been a whole lot, but we knew this big piece of equipment he used, it needed to have gas every time he would level out the lane. So I've always helped out and always try to be a giver, you know, to help out in any way that I can. So I just don't know. Only thing I can say is the same number of people that's driving that lane right now is going to be the same number of people driving the lane tomorrow and the next day and the next day, unless my daughter and son-in-law, unless they move. But it's still going to be the same number of people today as well as tomorrow.
Thank you, ma'am. Do you have anything else you wish to add?
Yes. I was wondering, I'm not sure how it's going to go, but is it possible or is it within, you know, the county council members to send my data back to planning and zoning board to be considered, or would you consider voting my case back to the planning and zoning board? Because that way they give me more time to get with my surveyor to ask them, okay, why didn't they get this? It's too late, you know, I need to start it all over or whatever, because they messed up.
You're asking that the matter be remanded back to the Planning and Zoning Council.
Right, if possible. That way they give me more time to go through everything and have them look at the things, the issues that he's talking. The only issue they can't do is the road, because it's hard trying to figure out who owns the road. Several people say they own the road. So how would you do that if one person saying they own the road? My neighbor saying he owned the road, I guess, up to our house, and then another person that said they own the road, and then somebody else saying they own the road, and I'm like, okay. That's something that have to be really dug into and looked into, because right there, that's three people, and I haven't seen my farmer neighbor that asked them, because his farm, the farm on the right and the farm on the left there, in proximity with each other. So trying to figure out who owns the land between there, that and the street, and the guy that's at the corner. So only thing I would say, if My application is not strong enough because, like I said, this is my first time. I like to have it, as you call it, remanded back to county, to planning and zoning, and that way I may have the opportunity to start it all over and see exactly what it is that need to be done, because all I know right now is the easement that's never showed up and having them show the buffers and stuff.
I think, man, Mr. Robertson raised an interesting point, and the issue of the title to the road, mm-hmm. whether, I'm not sure, because I'm not a land use attorney, petition of quiet title, petition to determine the easement. There are issues of adverse possession, depending upon how long it is. Those are matters which I can't comment on and have no authority to decide. Mm-hmm. But it's consistent with your request that the matter be remanded. Now, council obviously has to make a decision one way or the other, but I just want to make it clear that you're asking for a remand to allow further proceedings consistent with the obligations. That's your position, correct?
I think so. I'm be honest.
I'm only chuckling, ma'am, because
I'm trying totally
to ask a layperson mm-hmm. whether a lawyer made sense to them is kind of difficult.
Right.
I think the council understands.
Yeah, I do understand some of the things he's saying, but a lot of the things he's saying, I'm not sure how does that affect me, especially with the farmer being at the end. And they said I had to have a 50-foot vegetation setback. Suppose I don't want all the weeds and stuff. You're saying that I had to keep some type of vegetation there for 50 feet into my property? To me, that's kind of, it defeats the point of getting rid of unwanted weeds and things that's harmful, you know? So that's the only part I didn't understand, because I was thinking, well, if that's the case, I could clean all that out on my side of my land, because the post is here, and I could come so many a feet or 2 feet in and put a fence up along that side and clean all that vegetation out, because it's on my property still.
Who would be appropriate to address what buffer is, like vegetation? What you have there is considered vegetation. Mm-hmm. That is appropriate. Mm-hmm. No one's saying you have to clean that up. That is part of your vegetation. That is considered that.
Yeah, and what I was talking about, there's a 50-foot agricultural setback from lands that are under agricultural use, so it doesn't say that it has to be, and if I had said that, I misspoke. It doesn't have to be vegetated. There just has to be a separation from the nearest agricultural use to any building, and that's what we're talking about. That really impacts that side lot line.
To any building?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but there has to be a 30-foot vegetated buffer, unless it's waived, but you can use existing vegetation for that. But again,
that's in the front.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all it really, it's all four sides technically. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Your Honor, can I,
sir?
I don't know if it's appropriate to make this comment, but I'll. If you can ask me to stand down if it is inappropriate. But you know, if Ms. Brown was not able to provide evidence today that the commission did error in their interpretation of the code and the law, if she was unsuccessful in that argument today, and I haven't heard the rest of her argument, so haven't made a judgment yet, would it not be appropriate for her to reapply at the proper time and bring this back before the Planning and Zoning Commission?
That is a matter that the attorney for counsel, Mr. Moore, and counsel have to discuss as the options. I understand what you're suggesting, and I think, Mr. Robertson, if I'm not mistaken, we had, and maybe it was Mr. Moore, but we had briefly discussed when the conference that we had, and that's an issue that this council, Sussex County Council, will have to consider in its deliberations, because you can do one of things. So that's something for your internal deliberation and then to vote on and to make a decision. But that's part of what it appears to me, and I don't make the decision that Ms. Brown is asking. That's why I was attempting to clarify it so we know what we are dealing with. And I think we had also discussed this, Mr. Robertson, when we talked via video conferencing before, and so it's something you can consider. We just can't, I can't decide it. That's something for council.
I just wanted her to understand the, you know, and it may be a little inappropriate to have this discussion at this point, but for her to understand her options, she asked that question, and I think her option is to, if the council did decide that she did not show that the Planning and Zoning Commission erred in their interpretation of the law and the code, that her option would be to reapply.
Well, that's, again, a decision that Mr. Moore is going to have to advise council, and council's going to have to make that decision. But ma'am, you had a question?
So,
I'm sorry, were you finished?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So in listening to online to the entire hearing, the chairman of the board did recommend to redraw the lines for the set of the mobile home or the home, to reset that so that the boundary, the setbacks were in compliance.
Right.
To do that and put on the final site plan, right, and bring it back. And instead, she chose this route instead of that route. That's how I'm looking at it. We went this route instead.
I'm not commenting on that, ma'am, but the issue Mr. Robertson has raised quite clearly and repeatedly was, look, the record is insufficient upon which to allow the granting of the subdivision. Not that there wasn't merit, non-merit, but the law requires, this council's law requires that certain things be met or explained or excused. Mm-hmm. And if the record is incomplete in that sense or is not established, then the person who has the burden has a problem, and it's up to the county council how you wish to respond to that within the confines of the law, and that's something that has to be discussed during deliberations, and I don't know any other way to say it, but you can discuss it, and Mr. Moore will advise as to the legality one way or the other. I'm simply was attempting to summarize Ms. Brown, who's pro se, and Mr. Robertson, who is obviously an attorney well grounded in these areas, that his, and you correct me if I'm wrong, was simply that, look, we were sympathetic, but the law requires A, B, C, and D. And if it's not there, then the commission has no choice, and even went further to say, look, there's got to be a way for you guys to resolve this, and this may or may not be the proper mechanism, but the Sussex Planning and Zoning Commission is bound by the law, and if the record is not established, their argument is their denial must be affirmed. Now, Mr. Moore outlined the options available to county council, and you will consider that during your deliberations, and yes, you will make a decision.
Sure.
I mean, it's... So I was just attempting to say, I wanted to make it clear as to what we were dealing with or what you guys are dealing with, because I don't vote. And I think I've done that. Mr. Robertson, do you have any question as to the way I characterize your position?
No, I think you said it in about a minute, and that took me 20 minutes, so I appreciate that.
I've got a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
First one might be for our administrator. Doesn't our county map indicate who is the owner of that particular piece of land?
The ownership of the land is not in question. The road, whether it's an easement or how that's titled, that's what you're asking, I think.
Well, I suppose, but you also touched on the point of adverse possession, and I'm wondering how long she has used that lane, and you know, if she shouldn't qualify for, you know,
Well, it gets to be somewhat complicated, not as a matter of law, but as a matter of fact, because there are 11, I thought Mr. Robertson said 11
Nine.
Parcels along this road.
That's
now, that
correct.
Could be five people, it could be 15 people, and the issue becomes, at that point, adverse possession, and I'm not lecturing counsel or anything else, but adverse possession involves an open and notorious occupation and, of a particular piece of land.
So it's a legal process.
Yeah, and in this case, it sounds like everybody was, I don't know if it's the nature of adverse possession or an easement by operation. And again, I'm not, please, I am not a land use lawyer. I understand the general concepts, and these are things that, in my view, are legitimate questions that the three of you thus far have asked. And in when you have your deliberations, Mr. Moore is going to have, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but is going to have a view.
Yes, and Your Honor, if I may point out, we have to look at what was the evidence at County Council, at Planning and Zoning. There was no discussion concerning establishment of a ownership by adverse possession, by prescriptive rights. None of that is in the record at that time with evidence that there was ownership. So irregardless of what the county maps may or may not show, we have to look at what was presented at that time. So it's very important that we stick to looking at that record. And also when we go into deliberations, we're going to be the only issue concerning a remand at this stage would be whether or not there was an error on planning and zoning's part, either by misapplying the law or the facts did not support their position in any way, whether or not we would have that ability to remand. And so we don't even get into the argument, too, because we're getting off point when we start talking about, well, someone can apply later. You know, that's not part of our appeal, so we need to stick to the issues here. What was in the record? Did the planning and zoning apply the law correctly? And was there sufficient evidence that was introduced at that time, not what may have been omitted from being introduced, but was there enough for us to then overturn their decision by either or overturning it outright or remanding?
One of the questions I have is, and just for my own satisfaction, is, you know, we flip back and forth between lane and road, and I think driveway was mentioned at one point. What's the difference between a road and a driveway? I mean, if this is a private driveway, then what's government's interest in regulating how it's used?
Well, so I don't think it matters if it's a road, lane, or driveway. And the government, we have road standards that need to be followed. But, you know, at the same time, this is one person applying for a subdivision on that road that at least 10 other properties have rights in. And so, you know, I don't think the commission in this case or in any other situation would be able to create a subdivision that uses a road where there's uncertainty as to the ownership rights and the maintenance rights. The other thing is,
but we said there was clear as far as who owns it, didn't we?
No, and I think Ms. Brown here this afternoon said that there may be three people that own it. She doesn't know.
No, I said there, the 4.6 acre lot, her lot, that ownership is clear.
That's very clear.
Nothing about the
our county map doesn't indicate who owns it.
And our county maps would not. I mean, they may say who owns the underlying land, but the county maps do not describe what easement rights all these 11 properties may have in that underlying.
Go back to the adverse possession, but that, and so the burden would, I guess, fall on the applicant to have provided that information.
That's right.
More so than to the Planning and Zoning Commission to.
That's right. Well, and I don't think that burden falls on the Planning and Zoning Commission at all. We are, as a county, we are not in the business of determining ownership or easement rights. I mean, any applicant, and we've seen that in other applications, even some recently, they have to come forward and show, this is my right to use this road, and this is what my rights entail. And, you know, nobody's disputed that Ms. Brown has the right to use this road, and if she goes in to the Court of Chancery and seeks adverse possession, that may confirm that she has the right to own this road. But it's going to depend on that court order in that case whether she or anybody else has the right to subdivide their property to increase the use of that road.
Another grant permission to another.
And that applies not just to her, but to all the properties on that road. And, you know, and it, candidly, again, back to what Judge Tolliver said and a few of you mentioned, we have to act on what's on the record. You know, it's not the commission's job to go investigate things or to determine ownership. You know, I don't know because it wasn't in the record. The commission doesn't know because it wasn't in the record. There may be an easement that's out there that clears all this up, you know, but we are left to live with what was in the record, and there wasn't anything at all, not even close to describing who owns it. And we heard the same thing today, unfortunately, for everybody out there, that we heard during the hearing that we're not sure who owns it. There may be three different people that own it. Nobody maintains it, you know, and just under those circumstances, I don't know how the commission could approve any subdivision out there. Make a situation as it currently exists, frankly, worse, you know, just because there's additional lots of traffic and more people involved in trying to figure out who maintains something, et cetera.
The Councilwoman Green indicated that there was open door to add more information at planning and zoning. I wasn't maybe clear on what you were saying.
So when I listened to the recording, that would be an option to come back.
That they granted that option to come return?
They did. They granted her the option to have done, like to move the, not on the lane, but on the building, and she opted this instead of that. That's how I looked at it, that she took this.
I would characterize it maybe a little bit differently. There was a discussion, I think, about sort of redesigning the lot and the subdivision, you know, so that she could put the building at a different place. That the commission didn't act on that because it wasn't in front of them. And I think Ms. Green, to your point, Ms. Brown didn't like withdraw our application and come back with something different. You know, we're moving forward with this appeal process. You know, there may be, Mr. Whitehouse and I were just talking about this, there may be ways to reconfigure that lot. But still, the fundamental issues still remains, you know, the ownership of Victory Lane and the maintenance of it. You know, if that can all get sorted out. Again, subdivision or not, it's for the benefit of everybody out there, frankly. You know, particularly when you got a farm to bed.
The matter is closed as far as planning and zoning.
Yeah, and that's why I would add, be really cautious about a remand, because I don't know that gets us any closer to a solution of this. You know, I mean, a remand's still going to be based on the record, and that, you know, we're still left with dealing with Victory Lane and who owns it and who has rights to use it and maintenance, you know. I don't know that we get any further along with the remand than, you know, maybe starting over at some point.
And,
complete record and, you know, information.
Make it clear, my characterization of your position was simply there is not a sufficient basis in the record for anything other than to affirm the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I would reiterate what you said here and in our conference, which was simply that this is the law, whether you're sympathetic or not, and obviously you would like to see an amicable resolution, but the only thing, and again, I don't mean to throw Mr. Moore under the bus, so to speak, but he will advise counsel what the options are, and your primary sole argument is, Planning and Zoning Council had no choice. There's not a sufficient basis in the record, and no one questions the positive intent and the effort that Ms. Brown has attempted to do, and that she has a sympathetic argument, but I won't characterize it one way or the other, but this is a legal issue as opposed to an equitable one.
I agree with that. Thank you for stating it so succinctly.
Ms. Brown, is there anything else you wish to add, ma'am?
Yes, I would. It seemed like everything is based on the land, on the lane or the road. Like I said earlier, there's not going to be a decrease tomorrow in the number of people using the road or lane. It's going to be the same. The impact on the lane is going to be the same number of people, regardless of how you look at it. Whether it be today or tomorrow, it's still going to be the same number of people. And as far as my parcel having access to Victory Lane, it's already in the plat book about parcel number 3, because my parcel is parcel number 3, and it says that it has access from the beginning of, I think it's the beginning of the street, route all the way back. So I'm not sure what it is that I need to do, because it's something I desire to do, or should I just go ahead and build my own house, another house on my land? Because either way it goes, it's going to be the same number of people there, regardless.
Well, ma'am, one thing I do want to indicate, and part of their response, and I'm not characterizing the evidence, but it's the same number of people today, and will it be the same number of people tomorrow? Or if you said your daughter should, for whatever reason, decide she needs to sell it to somebody else. The issue, Mr. Robinson's argument is, the issue is the same, the record is not clear enough, and for them to have made any other decision, but your position is abundantly clear, and I think you've stated it as well, or better than a lot of lawyers, including myself. Is there anything, any questions? Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Okay, and also, if the lane, like I said, if the lane is such a big issue, why didn't it become a big issue when other people was subdividing? Why never, all of a sudden, it seemed like it's a big issue? You know, I just don't understand. Maybe it's just me because of my limited knowledge, and Mr. Robertson, his thorough knowledge of the law. I'm looking at face value of the law from a layman person. Some things you read, you understand. Some things you don't. And when he was bringing up 99-9C, and I was reading, and I'm like, I just didn't see how my land affected their farm. I just don't understand how my land affects somebody else's farm. I really don't.
The issue, ma'am, would be within the code. And I don't know any other way to say it except the law is as the law is, and it may not always be clear as to why it is, but I think you've stated your case, and I think counsel understands both positions, and that's about all I can say, ma'am.
Thank you. So what is adverse possession? Because now I'm hearing this.
Well, that's for another type of proceeding, but if you and I live side by side, and I have my driveway on your property, and I have it, I think it's 21 or 20 years, I forget which.
20 years.
And I use it in an open and notorious fashion, and no one objects, I can ask for title to that property by what is known as adverse and opposition possession. And that's a different proceeding. It's not before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And it's just like the determination of an easement. I'm not sure, and I think Mr. Moore used the term, and I appreciate prescriptive easement. I'm not sure the process for that, but it's not before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That may be a function of the Court of Equity, but I'm not ruling on that. I have no such authority, but those are issues to get, questions to get to what Mr. Robertson described as the root of the problem. And you've indicated, and it's not a part of the record, but you've indicated that there were prior subdivisions. We don't, that's not before this commission, I mean, before the council, wasn't before the commission. And so there are a lot of factors that need to be clarified and probably should be clarified in a, well, should be clarified before you can do much else. And I can't give advice, ma'am, in that sense. I can only tell you what to answer that direct question, what adverse possession is. And prescriptive easement is something similar, except you don't lose title to the land. Only the person who has the easement has the right to use that particular parcel of land for a limited purpose. Mm-hmm. And as much property law as I ever knew.
Okay.
Anything further? Any other questions? All right. Anything else from you, Mr. Robertson?
No, Your Honor, and counsel, thank you.
And I think that closes the appeal. I return it to the president of Sussex County Council.
Mr. Morgan, give me a motion to close.
Yes, you're referring to close the
hearing. Yes, the appeal hearing.
Yes, be it moved that the hearing, the appeal hearing before Sussex County Planning, for Sussex County Council on Sussex County Planning and Zoning's decision to deny be closed.
Pleasure, counsel.
Motion,
Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. The hearing is now closed, and we will add a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer? Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be, we're now in executive session. We'll go downstairs and convene and